Often we encounter difficult or turbulent times. For the past couple of years, there's been a little bit of a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. I remember studying my professional military education when that actually kicked off, and what we were commenting on in class changed drastically as something that was theoretical became reality. And of course, as it continues on, every now and then there's a little blurb in the paper about nukes might be involved, or nukes are moving here or there, and it can spike one's blood pressure. Of course, there was the attack on Israel a few months ago. Now the Palestine-Israeli conflict that's going on, and Iran getting involved, can cause people to stir. And then just a little while ago, there were some who were quite concerned that it was going to be the end of the world because of the solar eclipse. On that particular day, I was randomly selected for drug testing at work, which is always a joyful thing. And so I go to the office and I'm drinking a lot of water, because if you don't give enough, they keep you there until you provide a large enough sample, and you don't want to have to try two or three times. So I'm there drinking water, I get done, I take the test. I don't know if I passed or not yet, I assume I did, it's been a few weeks. But I take this test, and as I'm getting ready to leave, one of the people in the office said, "Oh, you're a chaplain. Do you have an inside scoop? Is Jesus going to come back in like an hour and a half when the eclipse happens?" And I said, no, he's not. I said, if somebody claims to know the date or the hour, he says no one's going to know that. So if somebody's publicizing it, if it's out there, then that's not when he's coming back. It's not happening then. Don't know when, maybe 5 minutes before, maybe 2 minutes after, I don't know. I don't have that kind of knowledge. I just know it's not there. But they were so excited to leave the difficulties of this planet and go to live in peace with Christ in paradise. And as we are here at Palm Sunday, we are at a place of joy and peace right now. It's a special season in between Lent and Holy Week, where everything is transformed. The church has gone from the dark purple vestments, we're in bright green. Father and I have shed the wooden crosses for the bright gold ones. It's a fish day, right? Everybody knows it's a fish day, the last one before Holy Week, to give us that strength to get through. But also, on Lazarus Saturday, it's the only Saturday in which the entrance hymn is actually a resurrectional hymn. It actually mentions Christ rising from the dead on Saturday, which may not seem like a big deal, but Saturday is when we normally remember the departed. It's when we normally commemorate those who have gone before us in the faith. And so it's an entirely different tone. Even the music changes tones. It's going to get a little sad later at about 1:15 as we go back into Holy Week. But we are here at this joyous moment at the raising of Lazarus and the entrance of Christ into the city of Jerusalem. Now, when Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he did it so that the works of God may be made known. Now, they were made known all throughout Christ's ministry, as he was healing the sick, as people would be brought to him lame and would be raised and would be walking away, people that were blind, and everybody knew they were blind could see, but nobody had actually been raised from the dead. I think there was one young lady who was touched on the way out to her funeral, but she wasn't buried, she wasn't dead for that fourth day. But when Lazarus was called out of the grave yesterday, he was stinking, stenching, corrupted, dead. And so this caused a stir. Bethany is only a couple of miles from Jerusalem, and so everybody in Jerusalem had heard the news that Jesus had raised someone from the dead. Somebody who is, no kidding, verifiably not in this life anymore. And so that's what made this triumphal entry so triumphal. So many people came out to see this Messiah, this King, this person, the God-man, who had done these great works. And they were hoping for a little bit of a different of a revolution. They were hoping maybe something a little bit more successful, like the Maccabean revolt that had happened a couple hundred years ago. Maybe overthrow the oppressive government that they were living in at that time. And so actually it was quite dangerous to go and to show up and to bring palm branches for this entry. Because not only were you making the leader of the Jewish people angry at you by celebrating this man that they hated so much, but also the Roman government would see that as a sign of treason, as a sign of wanting somebody else to be in charge at that time. And so Christ rides into town on a young donkey, one that has not yet been broken, one that has not yet been trained, one that has not yet met those requirements to carry an adult at that point in time. And he rides into the city on this donkey, a hint of the Gentiles coming into the community, being grafted in what was prophesied in Zechariah, which we heard last night. But he comes and he brings joy and peace in this entry. And that's a very difficult thing for us in our anxious world, to have joy and to have peace. Yet, it's the mark of a Christian. Think of the epistle readings that we heard yesterday and today. These epistle readings don't seem to match the gospel readings. They don't seem to have anything to do with the story that's being told to us of Lazarus being risen from the dead and from Palm Sunday taking place. In fact, here's a little encapsulation, a reminder of what we heard. On Saturday, we were told to love our neighbor, to be kind to strangers, to minister to those who are mistreated, to honor our marriages, not to be covetous, and to pray for those who are our church leaders. Today, we were told to be gentle. We were told not to worry, not to be anxious, but to be grateful and to take our focus and to put it on everything that is noble, true, just, pure, lovely, and virtuous. We are called to put our focus on Christ in this anxious and difficult world that we may live in. And our church gives us so many ways to do this. We do this as we read the scriptures, as we hear the scriptures read in the church, as we see the icons. We heard this morning at the chrismation that we had that icons are there to help us focus on Christ and to live the life that we are called to live as Christians in a different kind of kingdom, in a different kind of world, where we find that true peace. So as we have journeyed through Lent, as we celebrate that culmination of those weeks of fasting and prayer, I hope it was good for you and that you feel like you've gotten maybe a little somewhere. And if not, don't worry. There's another opportunity for the next week of more fasting and more prayer and more church services to help us to turn our focus on our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.